Namaste. I'm Marianne Elliott. I'm the creator of 30 Days of Yoga, and I'm here with my friend and collaborator, Anagis Jelly, who has created the website and the community for Curvy Yoga. And we're here really to share our top tips about getting started with a home yoga practice. So I just wanted to tell you a little bit about why I'm so passionate about home yoga. I really deepened my yoga practice and discovered the potential that yoga had to really support me and keep me well under a lot of pressure when I was living and working in Afghanistan, where, not surprisingly, there were no studios or classes that I could go to. So I had to do it by myself. I had to find a way to motivate and support myself to have a regular practice of yoga at home. And I did find a way to do that, and I really believe that it saved my life. It made a profound change to how well I was under those conditions and how I was able to process and deal with the stress and the challenges of working in a place like Afghanistan. So I just became really, really passionate about yoga, and particularly about practicing yoga at home. So that's what I teach in my online courses. And that's what this call is about today, where Anna and I are going to share our top tips for starting your home yoga practice. And we're going to kick off in a minute. I'm going to ask Anna to introduce herself and tell you a tiny bit about how this call came about. And then I'm going to do a very short grounding just to help us settle and ground into our bodies here on the call. And then we'll go into our top tips and we'll talk you through those five top tips. Then we'll open for questions. We'll have some questions and answers, and that will take us pretty much to the end of the call. There is a little bit at the very end where we're going to answer a couple of questions that came through, that have come through to me separately. So if you did put a question through, do stay on to the end. And if we don't get to your question on this call, then we will answer your questions by email in the follow-up emails. Okay? So I'm very, very pleased to be able to introduce to you and present to you my friend and collaborator, the wonderful Anagis Jelly.
I am the founder of Curvy Yoga, and really that's body positive yoga for people of all shapes and sizes. Marianne, I was trying to remember the first time that I met you, and I couldn't remember the very first time, but I know I did take your course a couple years ago. And that's where we really connected about how much we had in common as teachers and students. And so I'll talk a little bit about how we decided to create the Curvy version of the course in a moment. So just to get started, I wanted to say how excited I am to be here. Home yoga practice is so near and dear to my heart, and it's really been one of my greatest teachers. And it's deepened my relationship with the practice, but also really with myself, which I think is one of the primary benefits. So I can't wait to talk more about that. I'm glad to be here.
So we're going to do a little centering here. We're going to take a few moments to recover from the technical blip at the beginning and ground a little bit into our bodies, because when we're going through our day-to-day lives, a lot of us spend a lot of our time up in our head and really not in our body at all. So that's what really the next few minutes are about. So I'm going to suggest, if you can, hopefully you're not driving. If you're driving, obviously keep your eyes open. But if you can, close your eyes and just take a minute. If your legs are crossed, can you uncross them if you're sitting so that your feet are actually flat on the ground? And if your arms are crossed, can you uncross them and just let them, either hands resting on your thighs or hanging down alongside your body? And just take a deep breath here. So inhale deeply through your nose. So your mouth is closed. Inhale deeply through your nose. And then open your mouth and exhale like a big sigh. And as you do, see what you can let go of, softening your shoulders, your jaw, your chest, your belly, your hips. And we'll do that again. So inhaling through the nose. Open your mouth and exhale, releasing and softening the body as much as you can. Nice. And then just see if you can find a steady, easy breath. It's nice and deep, it's not too shallow, but there's no sense of force. You're not straining to keep at the breath. Inhale, you can let your mouth close and inhale and exhale through your nose. And this is really the foundation of your home yoga practice. And I often say to people, if this is all you did in a day, if you just sat in your chair and closed your eyes and took a few minutes to center and to connect to your breath and to soften your body, you'd be doing well. So as you inhale, I want you to think about a little bit more space in your body. And see if you can imagine breathing and expanding into the back as well as the front of your torso. If you can feel the rib cage open and expand a little bit in the back body. And then as you exhale, feel as heavy as you can in your body. So soft but heavy. Really let the weight hang down. The feet are flat on the ground. Feel the feet really resting on the earth with no effort being made to hold them up. And the same with the hips, the buttocks, the belly. Nice. I'm just going to take two more breaths here, bringing all of your attention to your breath. Just follow the breath on the inhale. And follow the breath with your attention on the exhale. And just one more deep, gentle breath. Noticing the state of your body, the state of your breath as we begin this call. Just bringing some awareness to your body and your breath. Noticing whatever sensations there are there. And softening. Softening into them. Nice. Okay. And just enjoy for a moment that sensation of being just a little softer, a little more landed in your body, a little more connected to your breath. And I'm going to hand back over to Anna to talk a little bit more about why we wanted to do this call.
Thank you for that centering. I liked what you said about if that was all we did, then that would be a great home practice. That's really what I was thinking about and thinking about why we wanted to do this call, because of those shifts that can happen in such a short amount of time in a home yoga practice, even doing it in your car, like you said. And I think that another reason why we wanted to do it is because of how transformative home yoga practice has been in our own life. Marianne mentioned that she really started practicing in Afghanistan. I started practicing in college. I lived in a small rural town that didn't have any yoga classes. I think the town only had 2 stoplights. So there was definitely no yoga classes. And my only option was Rodney Yee VHS tapes. So I had a really small dorm room. I had about enough space for a yoga mat in between my bed and my roommate's bed. So when she would go to class, I would close the door, make sure it was locked, nobody was going to come in and like hit me with a door when they came in and pop in my VHS tape. And that really formed the foundation of my practice. For a couple years, I just practiced at home because I didn't have access to any kind of classes. And then from there, I started going to classes, and I had a very on-again, off-again relationship with home practice, which is an experience that I know a lot of people share. And that's something that we definitely want to talk about tonight, like our experience as well as the lessons we've learned from teaching other people how to craft a home yoga practice. So from here, I think we can go ahead and get into our tips, and I'm going to let Marianne start us off with the first one.
Okay, so the first tip is start now. And the reason that I think this is so important is because what I noticed in myself and what I noticed in people who I work with the online yoga courses is that we're very good at deciding that we're not ready. We're very good at coming up with lots of reasons why we're not ready. For example, if you've decided that what you really want is to start a regular yoga practice at home, the part of us that is maybe a little bit scared by that is very quick to come up with a whole lot of reasons why we can't do that. And they often take the form of, you're not ready yet. And it might be as simple as, oh, you're not ready because you don't have a yoga mat. So I should get a yoga mat. And then I should probably get some yoga clothes to do the yoga in. I probably need a new space because I don't really have a good space to do yoga in. You know, we can think of a million and one reasons why we're not ready to start. But the thing is, firstly, you are ready to start. I can tell you with 100% certainty that you could start your home yoga practice today. You can start it tonight. I mean, what we already just did on the phone, the grounding, a few minutes of grounding with your breath, if you do that by yourself later tonight, you have begun your self-directed home yoga practice. Because you can and you are ready to start now. This really came home to me with the way in which our ideas about what makes us not ready are in fact often just forms of our resistance to doing what it is we've decided we want to do became really clear to me in a conversation with a really dear friend of mine who had decided that she wanted to start practicing yoga. But she told me that she needed to lose weight before she could start to practice yoga. And I was really, really affected by that. At first it made me think, you know, what is this image that we have of yoga that we think you have to be in a certain shape to start yoga? Anna and I will talk maybe more about that later, but it also just struck me that we all do this. We all come up with reasons why we're not ready to do what it is that we really want to do. But my first tip for you is start now. Start now because you don't need a new mat. You don't need any new yoga pants. You don't need a yoga room. Although the book that you'll get with this call from Anna gives you an idea of how to create a home yoga room, even out of the space in the middle of your hallway. You don't need to wait until after your sister's wedding. You don't need to wait until you've got through the holidays. You don't need to wait until your youngest child starts daycare. You really honestly can start today. And we're going to talk more in the next tips about how. But I can't really overemphasize how important it is that you start now. Because the only way that you can build a new habit is by doing it. And the idea that we're not ready to start doing it is getting in the way of getting started. So my first tip for you is really that simple, start now.
Yeah, that's a good one. The second tip that we have is to start small. And this is one that has definitely tripped me up in the past. So I have talked about this a few times. You might know that 5-second rule, like if you drop food on the ground, you pick it back up in 5 seconds, it's fine. So this is what I have for yoga, which is the 5-minute rule. And so some days I am so resistant to practicing, and I hear this from my students too, where I'm kind of like, oh, I need to check my email, I need to return that phone call, I need to take my dogs for a walk. There's always a really long list of things to do. And I think some of that is real, and some of that is also things that I'm kind of putting in my own way. So the 5-minute rule is giving myself 5 minutes only to practice. So I'll say, okay, I'm going to do this for 5 minutes, and then I give myself permission to get off of the mat. And I will actually sometimes set a timer. I find that kind of gives me a container. Some people find that more helpful than others, but I actually just use like a kitchen egg timer. I used to use my iPhone, and then I found that somehow in those 5 minutes I was checking Facebook. So I just stick with my egg timer, set it for 5 minutes. And what I find is that some days 5 minutes is exactly what I need, and the timer goes off and I go on with my day. But even more often than that, the 5 minutes goes, and I'm like, oh, I'm feeling pretty good. I think I'm going to just keep going. And then my practice just continues from there, whether for 10 minutes or 30 minutes or whatever. And so I think this 5-minute rule can be a nice way to fit it into your everyday life, because I know that that's a major concern that we all share. How are we going to find the time? I think the other component of this is overwhelm. Because we can easily get into, and when I say we, I definitely mean myself, can easily get into this idea of we need our practice to be really long, we need our practice to be really intense, to be really complex. And so this start small for me really brings it back to overwhelm is not what our yoga practice is about. We don't need yoga to be one more thing to feel guilty about or to, you know, question ourselves about. So I think coming back to this start small can be a great way in all the different components of a home yoga practice, from time to the feeling of overwhelm to space. Like Marianne said, you can definitely create a gorgeous space, but honestly, I roll my mat out in the back of my office where there's just about enough space for the mat, and immediately, like, my two dogs are on me. And so I just have to, you know, give them some pets, and then they go lay down and take a nap, and sometimes that's on my mat, but I just kind of yoga around them, and eventually they get bored and move away. So it doesn't have to be glamorous. It doesn't have to be serene. Just taking those few minutes to center, I think, can be really powerful.
Thanks so much, Anna. And that leads really well into the next tip. Our third top tip for starting and sustaining your home yoga practice is to start where you are. And this is really at the very core of my approach to practicing yoga and to teaching yoga, which is that in yoga, the task is to meet ourselves where we are, not where we think we ought to be. So, for example, if on any given day you find that you're feeling particularly cranky or irritable or maybe exhausted or tense or scattered, that's where you start. You start your practice from there, because you don't have to fix yourself before you do yoga. And just as in the first tip I mentioned, my friend who was going to lose weight before she started practicing yoga, I can't tell you how many times people have said to me, oh, I would do yoga, but, you know, I'm not really a very calm person. So I can't do yoga because I'm not calm like you, which just makes me laugh, because anybody who knows me well knows that it is not my constitution to be particularly calm. I mean, I do yoga in order to maintain some kind of, you know, quality of calmness in my life. So the point is, you don't have to fix yourself before you start your yoga. You don't have to get flexible before you start yoga. You don't have to become a calm person before you start yoga. If you are willing to meet yourself where you are now, if you're willing to start where you are, then yoga will come and meet you there. That's, I think, a really, really important thing to know, that yoga doesn't have to be something out there that other people can do and you have to somehow build yourself up to being able to do it. Yoga is an incredibly flexible, diverse, and really very rich and comprehensive set of practices, and there will be a practice that's right for you. So meet yourself where you are. Start where you are. And you'll probably end up in the same place, since we all know that wherever you go, there you are. But you might find that you feel very differently about that place. And it may very well be that things shift significantly. But the starting point needs to be where you are. So that's our third tip. Be willing to start your practice where you are now, even if that means with a knee injury, even if that means with a lot of stress and tension in your life. The yoga will meet you there. And you will and can find a variation that will suit your needs in that place right now.
Yeah, that's a great one. It connects so well to the next one, which is start with something you like. So this is our fourth tip, start with something you like. And I find that when I do that five-minute rule that I mentioned earlier, I really like to start my practice just by kind of getting on the mat and moving around. So I think it can sometimes feel intimidating, like, oh, I have to come up with a whole sequence of, you know, quote-unquote official yoga poses, and they have to be the ones that I see on magazines or whatever. Otherwise, it's not a true practice. And for me, I just try to let my body be the guide. So sometimes I get in there, and I'm just like, oh, I'm only doing this practice because my lower back is so tight. I'm just going to do one forward bend. And that's it. And then from there, I find, oh, now my shoulder wants to move. Ooh, here's my hip. And so I just kind of follow along like that. Some of it's just some simple stretching. Some of it might be some recognizable yoga poses. But I like that principle of following what feels good in the body. I think another thing to consider in terms of following what feels good and starting with something you like is What kind of setting in terms of like the ambiance that you want to have for your practice? So sometimes I'm in the mood to play some music, whether that's some sort of calming music or some upbeat music, depending on my mood. And then other times I just want silence. And that really for me depends on what's been going on in my life. Like if I'm just kind of wanting to listen to something nice, or if I've been like overwhelmed with conversation and noise and busyness all day, then silence is like exactly what I need. So that's another nice way to think about what you like in helping you to craft your practice. Another option is to follow along with a video or a sequence that you've done before. So having freedom, like I mentioned a minute ago, can definitely be a beautiful thing, but sometimes it can also feel like too much. So even for me as a teacher, sometimes I don't feel like putting together a sequence, and it's nice to have something else to follow along with, and that's something Marianne and I will talk more about in a little bit. I wanted to mention, I was rereading a book earlier today, and I came across this quote that I thought was really interesting, and this is from Twyla Tharp. Some of you might know her, great choreographer, dancer. This is from her book, The Creative Habit. And I have to preface this by saying, to me, Twyla Tharp is like this pinnacle of discipline. And so she has this book about how you develop creativity. So I would say I definitely would not see myself like her. And then when I reread this quote, I was like, So she says, the only criterion in finding a way to work, or I would say a way to create a home yoga practice, is this: make it easy on yourself. Find an environment where the prospect of wrestling with your muse doesn't scare you, doesn't shut you down. It should make you want to be there. And that's what I think is really the crux of our home yoga practice, and starting with what you like, starting with what's easy.
And that's a beautiful quote. Make it easy on yourself. I sometimes think that what Anna and I teach is, you know, it's a little bit countercultural. There's an awful lot out there about how to start a habit by kind of, you know, doing it boot camp style, like really, like, you know.
Yeah.
You've got to hate yourself. You've got to make it, you know, no pain, no gain. And we're basically saying the opposite. We're saying make it easy on yourself, but then start now. I mean, like, make it so easy that you've no reason not to start now. You know, start where you are, start small, start now, start with what you like. And now that, you know, the thing is, start. Like, my idea is that I've been looking and looking and looking and talking and talking and listening and listening and hearing what are the barriers people encounter in their home yoga practice. And so what we've done here with these first four tips is just really remove one at a time the four biggest barriers. The four first big barriers that people, there's one more to come. You know, the start now, the barrier is people say they're not ready. Start small, the barrier is people, you know, they're overwhelmed. It's like, how do I do 90 minutes of yoga at home? You know, start where you are is that sense people have that they have to change something about themselves, or that they can't practice yoga because they've got an injury, or they can't practice yoga. So it's just one by one we're saying, this is what gets in the way. And here's a way to move past that barrier with ease, because this is so core to the whole philosophy of yoga, is that our effort should be balanced with ease. So we do make an effort. We do start. We do make the choice. We get on the mat. But the effort's always balanced with ease. That's really fundamental to the teachings of yoga. Which brings us to the fifth of our tips, and it's kind of a hallmark for both Anna and I, in our style of yoga teaching, which is, above all else, be kind. And I feel like I could talk about this, you know, really until the day I die, and still find people who need to hear it. Because we're really, a lot of us have been acculturated to be quite hard on ourselves. And if I think about those barriers to people's home practice, the one that kept coming up in all the emails I would receive and all the conversations I would have, one of the biggest barriers were the kind of mean voices inside people's own heads. when they got on the mat, there were these voices in their own head that would tell them they weren't doing it right, or they didn't look the same as Marianne does in the video, or, you know, that they were getting old, or they were getting weak, or they weren't in the shape they should have been in, or that they used to be in. And I used to think about this, and I came up with a kind of a metaphor that I, when I'm working with students who are being quite hard on themselves because they haven't been practicing as much as they plan to, I ask them to imagine themselves as a child who's learning something new. And I use the example of like riding a bike. And I want you to imagine you're this child, or imagine that you're watching this child. And every time the child tries to ride the bike, someone starts telling her that she's not doing it right. She's wobbling too much, she's going too slow. And then some other people laugh at her when she falls off, or tell her that she'll never be able to ride as well as the, you know, the professional cyclists, you know, on the big road. And so she stops trying. And when she does get the chance to get back on the bike, she refuses to. And I always ask people, if it was your job to help that child get back on her bike, would you do it by telling her she's lazy, that she's letting herself down by not trying harder? Or would you do it with kindness? You know, would you assure her that everybody starts out wobbly, that everyone falls off their bike sometime? And I, you know, I'm willing to guess that you, every single person on this call and listening to this recording, would choose kindness for that child. And so that's really what Anna and I ask you to choose for yourself. We're really asking you to see in yourself when you're starting something new, like a new home yoga practice, to remember that you are pushing at the edge of your own comfort zone, because yoga really asks us to meet ourselves where we are and to see ourselves as we are, and that can be pretty uncomfortable. So when we get to the edge of our comfort zones, our inner critic can get very, very loud. So just pay attention. Notice if there's really sort of an inner diatribe that's pretty critical of your own, of your efforts in your home yoga practice. And imagine yourself like that little girl who's becoming too scared to get on her bike because of the mean voices. And then see if you can choose kindness. See if you can gently, gently ease yourself back onto the mat with an assurance that there's nothing wrong with falling over, with a promise to meet yourself wherever you are, and importantly, with the knowledge that even a tiny little bit is better than nothing at all. So that's really my heartfelt plea. As well, as much as it's a tip, it's really like, this is what I would love for you, is to meet yourself in kindness as you venture into your home yoga practice. Now, Anna, I'm going to move into the questions and answers, but first I wanted to ask if you wanted to add something to that last tip, since it's really so fundamental to what we both have seen works for people.
Yeah, I wish you could, and everyone could see my face. I'm just like beaming, because I think you're right. This is the crux of our approach to teaching and practice, and I think it is for sure the top tip that we have. And I think, you know, what I've heard from students in teaching this course is so many negative voices come up, like you mentioned earlier. And one of the things that makes me so happy to teach this, to be a part of it, to continue with it, is hearing the stories from people, and I think we both have probably heard a lot of these, people who feel that shift, who feel that they see their resistance come up, and instead of being really negative about it, they can just sort of maintain a curiosity about it and kind of look at it and see, what's this? I'm feeling resistant. Rather than getting into a story about how lazy they are, how they're terrible people, or, you know, the kinds of things that might have come up. And that's what I think is one of the benefits of staying with a practice, when you can have kindness as part of the practice, because I think kindness really is a practice. It's seeing those small shifts. So, yeah, that's what I wanted to add before the Q&A.
Thank you. It's very true, and if any of you are kind of wondering whether this sort of approach is maybe for somebody else but not for you, because you're not that kind of person, you're somebody who's really highly motivated by discipline, and then you might like to go and read some of the like the testimonials on my website, because it's amazing how many people started out thinking that they were the kind of person who responded pretty well to kind of tough love, and discovered through the course of working with me that actually they responded really, really well to kindness. So I've come to the view that we all respond really well to kindness, that I'm yet to meet anybody who, in terms of building their home yoga practice, doesn't respond well to kindness. So I'm pretty confident in this particular tip. Yeah. So questions. Here's how it works. You are still all on mute. You can sort of digitally raise your hand and let me know that you have a question by pressing any number between 1 and 5 on your phone's dial pad, or if you're dialing in through a computer, any number between 1 and 5 on your computer's numeric pad. And when you press that number, a little sign will come up next to your name on the call, and that will let me know that you have a question. So we would love to hear your question, and I hope that I can see everybody on my screen. So any questions at all that you have, either about the tips that we've shared or more generally about starting a home yoga practice, we would welcome your questions. Okay, here we go. I have a question from Michelle. So Michelle, I've just taken you off mute, if you would like to let us know what your question is.
Hi, my question is, I'm brand new to yoga and I'm over 50. How do I know when I'm practicing when I feel some discomfort, if I should continue with that, if it's just easing into a stretch, or if I'm pushing it too far?
That's a really good question. Anna, do you want to say anything about that, or would you like me to answer that?
Sure, I'll be happy to, and you can chime in if you'd like. I think for me, what I like to tell students and what I like to do in my own practice is to kind of ease in. So taking it really gently with the pose, moving in, because it does take the body a moment to adjust to the opening, especially for people who are new. I think this is true, you know, as you're maybe trying out different poses or things like that, the body can just kind of be like, whoa, what's happening? So I think going slowly is nice, and it also helps you to connect more with the feeling. So if it is the feeling of opening, of a little bit of stretch, and maybe that's a new feeling, but it's not like a sharp pain, then you could stay there and see if it becomes appropriate for you to move a little further into the pose with another breath or two. If you start to come into something that feels really sharp, then that's often the distinguishing thing that we give, a sharpness as pain, and you want to come right out of that.
Oh,
does that help answer your question?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
Did you want to add anything, Marianne?
Well, I would just add that there are certain parts of the body that I always encourage people to be quite conservative with. And those are particularly the joints as opposed to the muscles. And then a couple of tendons and ligaments that I ask people to be really careful with. So be particularly careful with your knee joint and your shoulder joint. If you're doing something and the joints of the knees are painful afterwards, then you might want to either ease back or work with a yoga teacher to get an adjustment. There might be an adjustment that you need there. And the same with your shoulder joints. So there's just a lot going on in the knee and shoulder joints. And I don't like the idea of people feeling any kind of pain in the knee and shoulder. I mean, when I practice myself, because I run a lot, every single day when I go into a hamstring opener, I feel significant discomfort in my hamstrings. Significant discomfort in my glutes because they tighten up every day when I run. But if I start to feel pain in the joints of my knees and shoulders, I ease right back. And then the other part of the body that I think we need to be quite mindful of is our lower back. And particularly when forward bending, I'm very cautious about forward bends because often we do have quite tight hamstrings and glutes, those big, strong muscles, and they don't really like to let go. They take their time in letting go, and they experience some discomfort in letting go. Whereas the ligaments in the lower back are often quite willing to either to take over the work of the big muscles. So if at the end of the practice you feel pain in your lower back, that's another part of the body where I would really ease back and maybe seek some more specific support around what might be going on. So hopefully that's helpful as well.
Yes, great. I start the course on Monday, and I think this will help me distinguish between discomfort and pain.
Yeah. There is sometimes discomfort in yoga, and as much as we encourage Anna and I, and I mean the whole philosophy of yoga is to find the balance between effort and ease, and you never really want to be, pain is not something that you should be experiencing in yoga, but there's discomfort in letting go of some of that tension, particularly if it's tension that we habitually hold really closely. I can tell you that from daily experience.
Yeah, me too. In the hips for me.
Yeah, if you like to run long distances, you'll feel some discomfort in your yoga practice. Well, thank you, Michelle. Did anybody else have a question they would like to put to Anna or to I? And just know that if you think it's a strange question or a silly question, you're probably not the only one that has it. Here we go. I think this is LaTanya. LaTanya, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you. Mine is a more basic question. I just found your site the other day. So it's my understanding now that you're about to start a group session for the curvy yoga. How about group sessions for any of the others, the beginners or standard?
Yes, absolutely. So they're all going to start together at the same time. So we will be offering all four, the standard, beginners, the busy people in curvy. They'll all start this coming Monday. And we've done it this way only once before, and it was a lot of fun because we have the private community, the online community, and it just makes a really big crowd of people doing the course together, and that generates a lot of energy. There are plenty of separate kind of attention where you need it. But, yeah, so they're all starting on Monday. And that segues into something I was going to talk a little bit about, which is the different styles of yoga that we offer in these four different courses. So I might just pick that up now while you ask about it. So I originally created 30 Days of Yoga. As I said initially, it sort of grew out of something I was doing myself. I was wanting to make a commitment to my home practice, and I wanted to declare it publicly on my website because I knew that would help me stick to it. And then a number of people said, oh, can we join you for the 30 days? And then just over the course of the last few years, it's grown into this full offering. And the standard course involved, you get a choice of 12 different practices. And between those practices, a huge variety of different people's needs will be met. I've had a lot of people who are beginners, brand new beginners to yoga, who've done the standard course, chosen the beginner's practice in the standard course because, there is a beginner's one amongst the 12 different practices, and just been fine. But I also had some people who did the standard course, chose the beginner's practice and said, the daily lessons that I sent through were fascinating, but they felt like they just wanted them to be a little bit more basic, like really the absolute building blocks of yoga. And so that's when I created the beginner's course, and it did two things. The daily lessons really are following, the step-by-step, the building blocks of yoga. And the practice is broken up. So in week one, you only get the first 5 minutes of it. And then maybe actually 10 minutes if you include your shavasana at the end. And then week by week, we add a little bit onto that practice. So that became the beginner's version. And then a little bit like the tips that we've been talking about today, it used to really I got an ache, sort of a a sadness when I would get emails from people all the time saying to me, I really want to do your 30 days of yoga course. I know I need it. My life is really, really stressing me out. I have this and that and this sort of anxiety and this stress. And I want to do it, but I can't do it now because I'm too busy. And it used to really kind of break my heart because I thought now is when you need it. So that's when I created the busy version of the 30 days of yoga, which is a version created specifically for people who feel they're far too busy to do a yoga practice. And it's made up of lots of little yoga practices. So you get a variety of practices over the time and they're all tiny so you can fit them into your busy life. And then Anna and I got together and created the Curvy Yoga, which I'm going to get Anna to tell you about.
Yeah, the curvy version we came up with because I think, Marianne, you'd been receiving some questions about making modifications for curvy bodies, and we'd been talking. And I know that I had been talking with lots of students who wanted to try yoga but weren't really finding any, you know, DVDs or VHS tapes very easily that would show them options that would work for people with curvy bodies. And so we got together and created this version. And the curvy version has a 45-minute video that I sequenced together where we start with the most accessible version of the pose. So we use a wall, sometimes we use a chair, and then it builds on from there. So my intention is that you can practice the whole video at once, and as you go along, you might find that different parts work better for you, and then you could repeat those sections. So it's partially you practice with the video, and partially you can also take that and kind of put your own spin on it. And I think in terms of the content, of course, Marianne's other courses focus on being kind to the body, but we have an especial emphasis on that in 30 Days of Curvy Yoga, really talking about body image and how that affects our practice. And there are also some different emails that come in with pose options for various poses that both are and are not in the video, kind of breaking it down a little bit more.
Yeah. So that's a brief overview of the courses we've created, and we really created those for people who want a little bit more support. But we knew that not everybody would be able to sign up for that. So I guess that's why we wanted to host this call, so that you could get, in a sense, the essence of what we're teaching in the 30 days courses in this 1 hour and five top tips. Right. This is the heart of it. This is what we have discovered really works. It's start now, start small, start where you are, start with something you like, and be kind to yourself. You know, and if you can really bring those five things together over and over again, day after day after day, and keep that little bit of, you know, the determination and the effort that gets you on your mat in the first place, you're really on your way to having a lifelong yoga practice. Certainly, that seems to be the way it's working for Anna and I, anyway. But Tanya, did you have another question or anything else you wanted to ask?
No, that was the answer. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And we will just. When we send out the recording of this call, it will include at the very bottom the link for anybody who wants to know more about the 30 Days of Yoga courses. Okay, I have a question here from Jess. Jess, your mic is on.
Okay, this is Paula, has been great, and so thank you. But I also wanted to know exactly what book Anna was quoting from.
It's called
Habit and Willpower. I know you said it, but I couldn't quite catch it.
Oh, no problem. Yeah, it's called The Creative Habit, and it's by Twyla, that's T-W-Y-L-A, Tharp, T-H-A-R-P. And I really like this book. It's really interesting. You hear a lot about her personal, really practices, honestly. It reminds me a lot of yoga. And then she also has some recommendations for a way to develop that in your own life, too.
Cool. Excellent. Yeah, that was really helpful. This has been great, though. Thank you.
Oh, good. Thank you. Our pleasure.
Anna, would you like to send me the quote? I can include it in the email when we send out the recording, maybe.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Quote.
Yeah, that was a great quote.
Yay, glad you liked it.
Okay. Jess, did you have any other questions?
I don't think so. This is really great.
Thank you. Okay, so is there anybody who has heard what we have to say and who doesn't think it would work for them or thinks they need to know more before they could actually get started? And want people to leave the call feeling like, yeah, actually, I actually kind of know how I would start. Yeah, here we go. Tim Paul, I'm turning your mic on.
Hi, I was wondering with the curvy girl yoga or with these classes, do we need props? Blocks or you know, straps? My question also is, you know, is that a part of the curvy girl yoga classes, is to do some of these poses and modifications with props?
That's a great question. I'm glad you asked that. So in the video, I use a wall, a chair, a block, and a strap. And the reason I chose those is that if you don't have an actual yoga block or a strap, you could use things that you have around the house. So in terms of the wall, you just need a small amount of space. And if you had absolutely no wall space, it's really just putting your hands on the wall at about your hip height. So as long as you're not going to be like putting your hands on a picture or something on the wall, you should be okay. And then a chair, I just use any chair without wheels. So if you had like a dining room table chair or something like that, you could use that for the chair portion. And then for the block and the strap, there are lots of different things around the house that you could use. You're really, with the block, looking for something that will bring the floor up to you. So sometimes I recommend people use a stack of books or a couple of canned goods. Like, it can just be anything that you can find that you can put your hand on. And then for a strap, there's several different things you could use as well. Maybe like an old necktie or the strap off of a robe or anything that would just sort of function like that. The purpose is to extend your arms in the different poses, and so anything you could use for that. Sometimes I just use like a sweater that's laying around. So it definitely doesn't have to be anything official for the props. And I do show options without props too.
Okay,
thank
you.
It's kind of part of the buildup. Yeah.
Thanks, Temple. Did anybody else have any questions? We probably have time for one last question maybe before we start winding down the call, or maybe two last questions, depending how long they are. Anna, was there anything that you wanted to add?
I think we've gone over most of the questions. The last thing I was going to talk about was props. Is there anything you wanted to say about that for the other courses?
Well, likewise, in the other courses, there are places where I offer the option of using a strap or a block or a blanket. And again, it's very much the same as Anna. I don't think you should feel you need to go out and buy a specific yoga strap or yoga block or yoga blanket if you have a blanket that you can fold up, or even a towel, a big beach towel, or like, you know, just work with what you have. And then in time, if you feel like actually that block or that blanket really would make a big difference to your practice, then go and invest in it. But I don't think you need to feel that you need that to get started. If you have them, sure, I have them on hand, because there are places in the practices where I give you the option of using those props.
That's okay. Kind of a start where you are, right? You can just use whatever.
Start where you are, yeah, and start now. I do think, for me anyway, I had to learn a long time ago to start the new practice and then later get all the gear. getting the gear could become a kind of either a barrier or a distraction from starting the practice.
Yeah.
And the nice thing about yoga, I mean, I certainly wouldn't encourage people, you know, to tackle some other activities without some basic equipment. But really, for yoga, you don't need anything. I often practice without a mat. So, you know, if you don't have a mat, you can still practice yoga. You know, you just work with what you have. I have woolen carpets in one room, and so I practice in there. Sometimes I practice on the wooden floors and just, you know, have a blanket on hand for when I need some padding for my knees.
Yeah, I do that too, especially when I'm traveling, which I think is another good thing to mention, which is that, you know, kind of going back to that start now, you don't have to be home for the whole 30 days to make it work. You can take your practice on the road.
Yeah, and in fact, you know, I travel a lot, and I used to travel pretty much ceaselessly, and I really learned to take my yoga practice with me wherever I went. I often did carry my yoga mat with me in the same way that in my running days I would always carry my running shoes with me, but that was more as a kind of mental cue. It was like I would open up my suitcase and there would be the yoga mat, and I would roll it out wherever I was, and there it was sort of there as a mental cue, the same way I'd put my running shoes by the door or by my bed, so that it's the first thing I kind of, you know, it's there for me, reminding me. And I used to have this kind of sort of little mind game almost with myself, which was like, if I lug this yoga mat all around the world, then I have to use it. Carry it everywhere.
Yeah, I do that too. I keep my mat rolled out in my office. So every day when I come in, it's right there. And I'm like, oh yeah, okay, here I come.
So, yeah. Yoga while traveling, I would hope, and because of my own experience of traveling so much, my intention certainly is that the courses that I offer are suitable for people that are traveling. But even if you're not planning to do any of the courses and you really are, you know, just planning to take away the tips from this call, that would be another one that I would say is, you know, take your yoga with you. Take whatever you need, whether it's your yoga mat or just some, you know, non-slip socks or whatever it is that helps you, whether it's a candle that you light, that helps you create the space for your yoga practice. Take it with you, and it will be actually a great companion on the road as you travel. And in the course, we talk a lot more about how to create that sense of space, how to create a sense of space using perhaps music or candles or whatever it is that helps you get a sense that that's your place to practice yoga. And one of the free extras that you'll get for signing up for this course, for the call, is the book that Anna put together on how to create your home yoga studio. So maybe just in the last few minutes, Anna, and then I'll finish by making sure people know what where to find out more about the courses if they want to. But would you like to just talk about that resource?
Sure, yeah. I have been getting a lot of questions from students about how to find a space, because it is a struggle. It definitely is, amidst roommates, family, pets, busyness, the actual space of where you live, to find a place that you can kind of carve out to do your practice. And so I created this guide to creating a home studio just to give some tips and kind of take the mystery out of it. I know a lot of my students who I've talked with in the past have kind of had this sense of, like, if I can't create like a spa space and a room that's fully dedicated to yoga, then I don't really have a space to do yoga at home. And like I mentioned earlier, I don't have anything like that. I know Marianne doesn't either, and most of our students don't. And so the intention in the guide is to show you different elements that you could bring in, even to a very small space that you might be sharing with other people. Like Marianne mentioned, maybe bringing in a candle or some music that you like, having what you need nearby, if that's any props that you want to have available, or if you might want to have a sweater for the end of your practice when you're going to do Shavasana if you're going to get cool. Starting to cultivate what you like to have that helps you feel like, okay, this is my time for yoga. Maybe it's even a timer, like I mentioned at the beginning of the call, so that you don't feel like you're going to fall asleep in Shavasana if that's not something that's good timing for your day. So the call, has kind of a breakdown of different components of what could go into a home studio, and also has some pictures of mine, and my dogs are part of that. So you can see I wasn't kidding about that. Every time the mat's out, the dogs are on it.
Thank you. That's great. I just saw that Emily has a question. So Emily, I'm just putting your mic on. Was there a question that you wanted to ask?
Hi, yes. I didn't know, I assumed it hadn't gone through. My question, I started doing yoga in classes and like using videos and stuff a couple months ago, and I kind of haven't been able to make the leap on putting together my own series and not being able to do it without using a video or some kind of, you know, something. So I guess I don't know what my hesitation is necessarily, but any tips you might have on how to put your own series together so you can make the leap from doing it with a tape to doing it on your own? Anything?
My first advice, Emily, would be that the traditional approach to this is to learn a set practice and practice that.
Okay.
And when you go to yoga, that would be what most traditional yoga teachers would teach you, is learn a set practice that a teacher who knows about sequencing has put together, do
uh-huh.
it off enough that you know it off by heart, and practice that. And then as you grow in confidence, that you really understand the poses in your body, you'll just start to change it to suit you. There'll be days when, you know, instead of doing that whole practice, you'll get into the first forward bend and you'll think, actually, what I want today is, you know, 15 minutes of forward bend. But that's really been for many thousands of years. You know, if you're not working one-on-one with a yoga teacher,
mm-hmm.
the traditional learn a set practice that works for your body, and then practice that, and then as you grow in readiness and confidence, start adjusting it. And that's very much the basis of my 30 days of yoga courses. It's, I give you a practice, we go through a process of you answering some questions so that we know which practice is suited for you, and then you do that practice for 30 days with the idea that near the end of those 30 days you stop doing it exactly the way I teach it. You feel free, you start to know it well enough, and we've talked about the, you know, some of the principles behind it, so that you can start to make the changes you want to make to it. But I would say, you know, that's one really good way to build confidence practicing on your own. And mm-hmm. then the other way is just, you know, don't feel like you have to have a whole sequence if you just want to practice by yourself. As a like baby step towards that, just practice one or two poses that you feel confident posing practicing alone.
Okay. Thank you. That's very helpful.
Yeah. Anna, anything from you on that?
You know, I think the only thing I would add, I definitely agree with what you said about repeating the same practice, is if you are practicing with a video, I think you mentioned that. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
One thing I've done in the past is practice with a video with the sound on, and then after a while of doing that, I would mute it and kind of just do my own thing. Maybe I would glance up. Like, that was a helpful kind of step down, I guess, to then practicing it on my own without the video.
Okay, that's good too. Thank you.
Yeah.
Nice one. All right.
Yeah.
Thanks for that, Emily. That's a great question. And I think we're losing people as we're getting to the end of our time. So I just want to wrap up by letting you know that you will get an email with the recording of this. I might take a little bit of time to edit it because it was a bit funky at the beginning there. But they'll get that to you tomorrow. So you'll get an email with the recording of this. And with the book that Anna has spoken about, and I'm working on a very simple sheet that just summarizes these five tips, so you don't have to feel like you need to write them down. And in that email, there will be a link to anybody who wants to know more or sign up for the 30 Days of Yoga courses that we have starting on Monday. And if you do want to do that, just make sure that you look out for that link, because registration will close on Sunday. So I don't want you to miss out if you think that's right for you. But most of all, I hope that you found the content of the call today useful, and I really just encourage you to get off the call, and either tonight or if it's really late for you tomorrow morning, start. Start with something you do know how to do, and just feel that sense of achievement of starting your yoga practice now. And if you do, remember the most important bit, which is do it with kindness. Me, Anna?
Yeah, I feel the same way. I hope everyone found this information useful. And if you have follow-up questions, you're welcome to get in touch with me or I'm sure Marianne. And I think it all does come back to that kindness. I hope you're able to find that in whatever way works for you. And if the class feels like a good fit, we'd love to have you.
Great. Thank you very much. Namaste.
Namaste.